There we go. We're live. Hi there, everyone. I'm Sue Clement, your Think and Grow Like a Seven-Figure CEO mentor. And I am excited today because I'm talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is how to get a client fast and even how to get a client today. I know some of you are shaking your head saying, that's not possible. I've tried that. It's not going to work for me. Well, I want you to put that thought aside because I'm going to share with you some things that you should stop doing because it's getting in the way of your success. And then I'm going to share with you three simple ways, or three different, you know, simple things you can do that are proven, and they will get you clients faster than probably what you're currently doing or what you currently think as possible. And I think that's pretty exciting. How about you, Megan? Yes?
Absolutely.
I keep putting you on the spot. So this is a perfect opportunity for me to introduce Megan. Megan is my trusty assistant, and so she'll be monitoring the chat. If you're on the online, don't hesitate to say hello to Megan and type in some chat. And so she'll be kind of popping in and out. And I try to give her a little bit of heads up because I kind of toss the ball at her, and she's like going, wait a minute. So, anyways, thanks, Megan. So once again, if you are, you know, these, you know, post-COVID or during COVID, I don't know, we're through it or over it or past it or where we're at with it, but certainly the world's been turned upside down. And for a lot of people, you know, business-to-business, service sector, you know, service professionals, we've kind of, you know, put our, you know, put on hold. Some people kind of put on pause. And if you didn't put your business on pause, the marketplace kind of maybe went on pause. But nonetheless, we need to get out there and continue to get business because there is business to be had, and there's, you know, clients still need your services. And so I really want to, first of all, kind of give you a preemptive message here is that you've got to keep focusing on business regardless of what's happening in the world. It's our new normal, so we have to keep going on that. And on the flip side of it is, you know, maybe you're launching a program, you know, whether you've got like a, you know, so many seats, or maybe you're doing a course. Or maybe you just have vacancy in your calendar where you're not at capacity and you want to get more clients but don't know necessarily how to get them or where to get them or how can you get them fast enough. Maybe it's you've hit a revenue crunch. At one point or another in business, we all kind of hit those months that our cash flow seems tight and it's like, oh my gosh, we absolutely need to get some business in the door. So that's how we can do it. So that's what we're talking about today. We're addressing the topic of how to get clients fast, not just how to get them, but how to get them faster. And I'm excited about this. You can tell I'm all razzed up. So once again, I'm going to tell you what's not working, what's slowing you down, and what do you need to remove, and what do you need to do to get you moving along faster and easier. Now, if you've got questions right now, hit the Q&A button if you're online on the computer. Pardon me, hit the Q&A button and post your questions, and certainly as we talk, post them. Now, for those of you who chose to dial in on the phone, that's cool, thank you. You can just press star two, and that would raise a little hand so I know that you're here. I see that we've got some people on the phone. That's kind of cool. Press star two, and I'll know that you have a question, and we'll call on you. And if some people are on the phone, I really love that because they can actually come on and we can talk. It's just not just me talking. It's great to have more of a dialogue or some on-the-spot coaching. So we'll get into that in a wee bit of time, but let's get back to our main topic at hand, and that is getting those darn clients faster. So I'm Sue Clement. I am a business acceleration expert. I am truly all about expediting your success. You know, I've coached people in, gosh, about 170 different industries for the last 20 years. I know I feel like an old dog, but the good thing about that is I've seen a lot. And I've worked with thousands of business owners in lots of different businesses and lots of different situations. And, you know, ultimately, what I'm really passionate about is helping them accelerate their success, helping them grow faster and easier than they can by themselves. And, you know, I've had a coach myself all those years, different coaches, obviously, and I know the value of having that outside input where you can have someone to bounce ideas off of, someone you can talk to, you can get insights that you never would have thought of, and someone to hold your feet on the fire. And so that's what I do for my clients is I help them kind of look at their business differently, to step out of it. You know, so often when we have a business, it's like the water we swim in, where, you know, the day by day, the days blur after a while. They all look the same, and we sometimes lose sight of the bigger plan. So it's important to step out of your business and look at it from a different point of view. And when you do so, my gosh, that's when you can really move forward, things forward faster. All right, so let's jump into the topic at hand. There are times when we need to get clients fast, and I like to kind of call it the fastest path to cash. I love that phrase. And actually, in my Revenue Accelerator program, that's what it's all about. In 90 days, businesses are targeting rapid growth, rapid acceleration. And in 90 days, it's like, how much money can you bring in? Can you double? Can you triple? Can you quadruple your sales? And it is possible with focus. So let's start off by, what are you doing that's not working? Okay? Now, maybe you know this, and maybe you don't. And irregardless, it's like, are you doing it? So that's the interesting thing. Information isn't really, you don't really know it unless you're doing it. And so before you say, oh, I've heard that before, I know that, I'm going to encourage you to kind of muzzle that inner voice that dismisses things of, I know that, but have you done it? Have you tried it? So one thing you need to stop doing is you need to stop the distractions of your business. You know, I want to share a story of one of my past clients. Her name was Joanne. And when she came to me, she obviously needed more revenue, and she was really struggling with getting more revenue, but she was so entrenched with the concept, because she had heard someone speak that a podcast was the way to make your business grow. And can podcasts help businesses? Absolutely. But there she was trying to understand how to create a podcast. She got lost in all the technicalities. Then she was like trying to find guests to bring on to the call because she didn't want to just have her talking all the time. So she wanted to have her own week, 1 week her and then 1 week a guest and alternate that. And she was so struggling with this. What happened was is almost she converted her business into building a podcast. That was what her business was. It wasn't about coaching people. She was a business coach. It wasn't that she almost like stopped coaching people because she was spending all of her time and effort building this podcast. And maybe you've done that too, where you've gotten so distracted trying to build a funnel. Funnels are all the buzzy words out there. You know, we need funnels. Or maybe you've been working on starting a blog or doing a podcast like Joanne was, or doing master classes. I saw a post yesterday, someone was disking the title master class, and they're saying, they're just webinars, why are we calling them master classes? It really doesn't matter what you call it, but you know, if you're spending all your time creating a master class or creating a webinar, maybe you're trying to get that signature talk nailed and how to get booked on stages. Yeah, stages don't happen anymore, but booked on virtual calls or virtual seminars, or virtual workshops and conferences, those are still happening. But nonetheless, if you're spending your time doing some of these bigger marketing efforts, what's happening is you're almost shifting your business into being that rather than the doing what you do, what you do with your clients. You know, someone else was telling me they're learning Facebook ads. Good on you to learn that, but it's getting in the way of you getting clients. And so if you're taking all these how-to courses and you're trying to roll out some newfangled marketing strategy, I'm saying that it's not like they won't work. They will bring you clients, but they're not going to bring you clients fast. And you can get down that rabbit hole so far and so deep that you totally lose sight of what the bigger purpose was. And the bigger purpose is to do the work of your business, which is whatever your work of your business is, whether you're a coaching consultant, you know, coaching or a consultant, or whether you're a mentor, or whether you're teaching people, you know, or doing websites for people, or doing design work for people, whatever your business-to-business services that you provide, that's the core of your business. And if you're spending most of your time trying to do something else, then you're getting in the way of your success. So I want you to take a really hard look about how you're spending your time. I do a little air quotes around the word spending there, because really what you want to do instead is invest your time. Invest your time. If you're doing things that are not bringing you clients successfully and consistently, then those are probably things you need to stop doing, or at least sector off into a small chunks of time. Like, I'm not saying you can't go do a masterclass or you can't create a webinar or a podcast. I'm not saying don't do those things, but don't let them consume you to the point of distraction where you lose the opportunity to bring business in the door. You know, my dad told me the story, and I use this a lot, so if you've heard it, you'll be nodding your head, and you'll know the punchline here. But my dad taught me this story years ago, like decades ago. And it was actually, I was even in a different business decades ago. This is when I had my employment agency, which I grew from startup to a $5.2 million company and then sold it. But I remember those early years when I was lamenting about trying to get, you know, the business going and trying to get clients in the door and hiring. I had a team of employees and trying to get all that happening. And Dad told me this one interesting story. And he was telling me that, you know, it's great when your mission is to, you have a swamp, and your mission is to go in the swamp and drain the swamp. Okay, sounds like an okay thing. I'm going to go drain the swamp. And you get in the swamp, and you're all geared up. But what happens is all of a sudden there's alligators. And you land up with these alligators, and you have to start wrestling these alligators because they're coming at you. And over time, what happens is you become a master alligator wrestler, right? But you lose sight of it. You forgot that why you're in the swamp was to drain it, not to be fighting alligators. And that was, you know, when Dad told me that, it was like, oh, my God. It really resonated for me because I had lost sight of what I needed to be doing. And doing that, I became masterful at doing all sorts of other things, but I'd lost the sight or the direction of what I really went for. So your purpose of having a business is to make money, is to serve people, to help clients. And if you're not doing that well enough or fast enough or often enough, then you've lost sight of that. So don't become an alligator wrangler. Instead, go drain the swamp. All right, so let's move on to three different ideas that I believe will be the shortest path and fastest path to getting you some new clients. And yes, you know, I think one of my posts I said, how to get a client today. Well, I know it's already 1:30 or 1:15 or whatever. It's the middle of the afternoon. So maybe not today, but you could. You really could. And this has been proven and it's happened before. So I'm just going to pause here and drink some water. Megan, is there any questions from the chat? How are we doing there? I'm just drinking water. I'll give you a moment to kind of compose that thought.
Oh, yes. there is just a couple people have introduced themselves, and that's it. So okay. I'm hoping more people will invite themselves to actually not be anonymous, because I could see there's some anonymous in the back end.
Yeah, we love anonymous people, but we'd love you to jump in. But anyway, so all right, good. So I've got my water down, so let's move on. I'm moving on and talking about the three strategies that will help you get those clients faster. Now, number one, and this is one that I actually rolled out a couple years back when I had a marketing challenge. You know, those 5-day challenges. Well, back then I did a 20-day challenge. Talk about crazy. And one day the challenge was to do this. Now, Barb took this on the chin. She went out there and did it, and she actually got 2 clients in that one day. And so what it is stop for a moment and make a list of all your past clients for the last, you know, 1, 2, even 3 years. So make a list of all your past clients and then outbound reconnect with them. Now, I know it sounds really simple. Now, when you reconnect with them, you are not trying to sell your services, okay? So don't pick up the phone and, hey, Bob, I was wondering if you need my services again. No, do not do that. The goal is just to reconnect. And it's really funny, when you do this, I don't know whether it's something kind of vibey or cosmic, but I've done this before where I reach out to past client, and they're like going, oh, my God, I was just thinking about you. And I think they genuinely meant it. I mean, I don't think they were just saying it. And it was really kind of funny how that happens. So reach out to a past client. Don't immediately sell them. Just the focus is to reconnect. Ask them what's new, what they're working on, how are things going. And certainly with our COVID lifestyle these days, ask them how they're surviving it. How's that impacting their business? And if you start that dialogue going with them, you want to be, you know, focusing on them, not on you. But you want to also be looking for ways that you may be able to serve them, ways that you may be able to help them. Often what happens is after you have this conversation, they'll flip it over and ask you, what are you up to? And that might be a perfect opportunity for you to say, well, gosh, you know, good that you mentioned that. I'd love to share with you. I've got this cool program. or since we worked together 2 years ago, I've now evolved and now I'm doing blank, you know, so whatever is new in your world, no doubt you've had new changes since, you know, since you've worked with them as well. So it gives you an opportunity to talk about what you're doing. And, you know, if it's a fit, like if you genuinely feel that you could add value to them, you might ask for permission to do so. You might say, you know, Mary, based on what you said, I think, you know, a couple ideas came up with me. Is it okay if I share with you how I might be able to help you with that? Mary's not likely to say no. And if she does, well, that's fine. So she'll probably say, sure, what are they? She'd be curious. So now she's given you permission to make an offer or to talk about what you do specifically to how you can help her. When you've asked for permission and she's granted it, she's more likely to be open to hearing what you have to say. And then now, once again, it's up to you to have a good offer, be able to communicate your value in a compelling way, and have some sales chutzpah or sales skills to be able to navigate that conversation with her. But it's a great way to segue into, you know, maybe you can help her. Now, if the person you're talking to, you can't help, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be a fit at that moment. Remember, sales is a numbers game. And so you're just doing some outreach to reconnect with people. And the funny thing is, like, lots of different opportunities can happen. From that one conversation, you might plant the seed, and 2 weeks later they could phone you back and say, you know, I was thinking about our conversation, and, boy, I was wondering if you could help me with blank. It has happened where they bounce back. Or the other great thing that can happen is at the end of the conversation you could ask for a referral, right? Or you could make that offer. So when you outreach to people, remember, don't immediately sell. You're there to reconnect. You're looking for opportunities, but you're trying to find ways that you can add value to your past client. And if you can't, at least ask for a referral. Now, when you ask for a referral, I should do a whole call on this one, but when you ask for a referral, it's not like, well, gosh, if you happen to come across someone who could use my services, please keep me in mind. That is not a great referral asking, okay? You want to point them in a specific place. So you might ask them specifically, do they know anybody with blank problem, and that would be the big problem that your product or services solves. So you want to paint the picture. You want to actually tell them. The next time you hear someone say blank, or if you ever see someone doing blank, that would be an excellent referral for me. So you actually want to paint the picture, point them in the direction. If you do that, you're more likely to get a referral rather than just saying, oh, keep me in mind, you know, send referrals my way. I love referrals. That's not going to work as well. So that's a little tidbit point of view. When you're asking for a referral, help them by giving them specific things to look for or to listen for that would signify that that person would be a perfect fit for your services. And then actually encourage them or teach them how to pass the referral. There's nothing worse than, you know, you bumping into someone and they go, oh, I referred, you know, three people to you. Did they call? That's not a good passing of a referral, because if they didn't call, then you just lost out on business. So instead, teach the person, when you find someone, when you think of someone, can you think of anyone right now? You know, when you get that name, please, you know, ask their permission to share their contact with me so that I can follow up with them, okay? So those are some little word tracks or word phrases you can do that would leverage the referral intake for you. So ultimately, number one was to make a list of past clients and then just reach out to them. You'd be amazed at the business that's right there, right now, for you today. Be like Barb, two clients in one day. Okay, so let's move on to number 2 point. And if you have questions, guys, press *2 if you're on the phone. And if you're on the web call, then type in the Q&A box, okay? Number 2 is, now, honestly, this one is kind of funny. I think it's funny because this is something that I had to learn the really hard way. I mean, it's such a simple concept, but, you know, it's kind of one of those funny things that no one really does very well. And I know a lot of people go to networking events. I haven't gone to networking events very often or recently for quite some time, actually. But nonetheless, if you go to networking events, then you're definitely going to be ahead on this one. And that is to, and even if you don't go to networking events, don't worry, guys, it's still applicable. Right now, on your desk or in your phone is thousands of dollars that you're not grabbing. And what I mean by that is on your desk, in your drawers of your desk, that is, you probably have business cards if you've been anywhere where you've been in person with people. Now, granted, the last couple months, that's not likely to have happened. But you have them from last fall, I bet. I know I've got business cards tucked here and there. So go and look at those business cards. Or look at your phone. Who have you connected with? And so what I want you to do is make a list of people you've met this past year even, like 6 months, even a year. Go through and make a list of everyone that you've met. Every business card on your desk, in your pockets, on your desk drawer. Go through your phone, any of the contacts. Think about the last time you were at a dinner or a networking event or a luncheon or a course or a seminar or a conference. Think of those people that you met and make a list of them. And I have a hunch that for most of us, it would be a fairly long list, right? And then what I want you to do is go through and kind of prioritize them and think about ways that you could add value to them. How could you help them? Now, you might not even know. You might not even, they might have just been somebody's card that you got and you've by now forgotten who they were. Maybe you're at an event at Christmas time and you got a card. It's like, wow, who was that person? Well, it's a perfect thing to be able to reach out to them. Now, you're getting the common theme here, but the common theme is the shortest path to cash is the direct outreach. The fastest path to cash is the shortest one. And so that is make this list and then reach out to them. Have a connection call. Once again, in this world, it's really easy to connect with people. There's a lot of people who are kind of, you know, it's an easy conversation start. I was wondering how you're doing. How's your business working? We met last fall, last year. We went whenever, you know. I came across your card and I was, you know, thought of you. Or, hey, I was just thinking about when we met last year at the blank event. I thought I would reach out to you and say hello and see how things are going for you. So it is kind of what I used to call a howdy call, but you're kind of finding the way to make, to reintroduce yourself and to get into a conversation with the person. So it is, once again, a direct outreach. It is a connection call. You want to be of service. You're not phoning to sell them anything. Now, can that happen? Absolutely. But is that the intent? Well, it might be your intent, but you don't want to make it the intent of the conversation. The conversation is to outreach. Now, once again, it takes some strategy to think about what types of questions you want to create that would get them talking, that's relevant to what you're selling and how you might be able to help them. So it's great to talk about, you know, like the world events, so to speak, or the weather or whatever, but ultimately you want to have some engaging questions that you might that you want to roll out to kind of get the point of the conversation more into business and specifically more into the business of that you might be able to help them. So don't be shy about asking them some questions like, you know, what are you working on these days? You know, what are your plans for your business in the next 90 days? If that's, of course, if that's relevant to you. So think about what's relevant to you in your industry. What are the key kind of buying signals that your clients say? Craft questions around that and get the dialogue shifting from the general into the specific of how you can impact them. And once again, the idea is not to come out of that sleazy salesperson and just say, hey, I've got something. Can you buy it? No, we're not trying to do that at all. We're trying to just warm up the conversation and then lead them through to see if there's something that you can help them with and there's value. And once again, ask permission. Hey, Mary, it's interesting that you said that. You know, from what you said, I think I might have an idea of how I can help you with that. Are you open to hearing that? Would you like to hear more? So have that as your great segue, because if you ask permission to, you know, she can, you're giving her opportunity to say, no, thanks, I'm good, I'm not looking, I'm already, you know, I already have a graphic designer, I just did a branding project, I don't need more branding, or whatever it is that, you know, whatever it is that she's thinking that you are, she might reject you right then. Think, no problem. And then just have another question that flips it back into something about her. Keep it focused on her or the client or the prospect at this point. So But although on the flip side, she goes, well, yeah, you know, how do you think you could help me? Gives you an opportunity once again to get into a bit of an offer. Now, rather than just pitching right out, you might just say, well, let me ask you a couple questions. And you ask her another qualifying question. So you ask a couple qualifying questions to see if she really is a qualified potential prospect. If she is, then move into the offer. So that's another way that you can do is make a list of people you met this last year and then seek them out, have a reach out, a connection call, ideally on the phone. Now, if you don't have phone numbers, then you have to do it by Messenger or LinkedIn messages or texting. Well, you have the phone number for the texting. But I must admit, I'm kind of a my preference personally is phone because you can control the conversation so much easier and you can keep their attention span so much easier and it's just faster. Phones are faster. I know a lot of people these days love the texting thing. So do it by texting and see if that works for you. Find your own rhythm. It's the same process. So whether you talk it or type it, it's the same deal. All right? So number two is make a list of people you met this past year. Think about how you might add value to them and then reach out, have a connection call. Don't immediately sell, but just have a connection call. And if you think that there's an opportunity, ask for permission and then get into the sales conversation. Okay, so that's number two. Number three. Now, so let's say you've already phoned all your past clients and you've already gone through all your recent connections, the contacts, business cards. What do you do then? Well, this is where social media marketing comes into play, and it's one of my favorite things to do. And believe me, this will get you clients fast, and it'll get you clients of people that you don't even know. So you don't need to know these people. There's two different strategies on the social media marketing, and the first one I'm going to talk about is the friending strategy. And so this is where you actually do some specific targeting of individuals. So you know how Facebook is always suggesting people to be your friend? Well, you look at those people. Or you might belong to a bunch of different business groups. So you look in those groups and you look at those people and you think of that individual. So what you do is you quite literally click on people's profiles and see if they have a business page. Now, this is a little tip for everyone. If your business page isn't connected to your profile, you're missing the mark. If you are in business, it absolutely must be. I won't friend anyone unless their business page is connected to their profile. You know, so Facebook or so, you know, I say Facebook, but you could use LinkedIn in the same languaging. You know, it's great to have friends and talk about, you know, parties and things with your family and your friends. There's that group. But ultimately, the you know, Facebook to me is a great tool to get visibility, direct outreach, and to get clients. So you want to, you know, when you do a friending strategy, there's the friending party friend strategy, but there's really, but let's talk business here. It's like you want to seek out prospects. You want to seek out people that you don't know if they're a prospect or not, but right now they're a lead. So you want to kind of find that lead and befriend them. And so send out friend requests to people. And whenever you ask someone to be your friend, if you're doing it strategically, you look at their profile, you look at their page, you might even look at their website and see, do they fit as a prospect for you? Do they have the criteria from a first blush, you know, from a, and quite literally, this takes like a minute, 90 seconds. Do they have the right feel, the right vibe? They do. Then invite them to be a friend, but also messenger them right at that moment to say, hey, I see we brought, and then whatever. Or I liked your recent post about blank. I thought we should be friends and sent you a friend request. Or I see we've got lots of friends in common, so I thought we should connect here. So send a messenger. They may or may not see it because they're not friends with you yet, but once they become friends with you, they will see it. So go out and specific look for people. So that's one of the direct outreaches, your friending strategy. And once they accept your friend request, now you can message them back. Thanks for accepting my friend request. And then ask them a question, once again, that's kind of relevant about your business and you know, a qualifying question for a prospect. And get a little chit-chat conversation going. Compliment them on one of their posts that they made. Ask them questions about, you know, something that they've posted on social media. Like, don't say, hey, you know, what do you do in business? Well, for God's sakes, you should already know that. So don't that's too low of a conversation. You want to elevate the conversation. So get a bit of a dialogue going, and that's the friending strategy. And as you begin to message people and you begin to be their friend, I mean, you don't want to just invite people to be your friend and then never talk to them. You know, and when I say talk, I mean message them. You know, if you're inviting someone to be your friend, you want to, you know, connect with them. It's a social platform, so be social on it. And same thing, if someone requests to be your friend, before you just fly spot yes, go and look at their profile. Is it someone you really want a friend with? Is it someone who you think could potentially be a prospect for you? And so you decline the rest and say yes to those people, and then, hey, thanks for inviting me to be your friend. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your world, you know? And just start the dialogue that way. So the friending strategy is one way to begin to make connections. And if you, you know, target that you do 10 people per day, at the end of the week you might have invited 50 people to be your friend, and surely at least half of them will say yes. Well, you've got 25 people to have conversations with, and out of that, I bet you'll shake out one or two prospects. And ultimately, as you're having that back and forth conversation, and I teach this in my program, but as you get that back and forth conversation, is ultimately you get them on the phone and have a sales conversation, and away you go. So friending, friend strategy is a cool way to begin to build more community. And particularly now that we're not kind of going to all these networking events, if you were heavily at relying on networking to bring your clients, this is how you do it with the social media. And I've been saying the word Facebook, but it's the same on LinkedIn. And my assistant tells me Instagram, but I don't do Instagram, so I'm not going to make any promises on that one. All right, so number four, and I'm just going to sip some water here, catch my breath. But number four is similar. It's another social media marketing, and this is really working with your current community. So number three was getting new friends, building your community. Number four is, now that I have a community, what can I do to grow it? And so we talk about engagement. So how can we engage with our current friends on social media? When I say friends, they're not really like buddies I go hang out with on Friday nights and have beers with, but I'm talking about just people who have friended me. So this is where we create engagement posts, as I call them. So you want to create a post that gets people to engage on it, to comment or like on it. Because once they comment or like on your post, it's like opening the door for you to message them back. So if you put a post out there, and you know, I can put a post about, oh, I painted something. I actually did recently paint my very first painting. Tons of comments on it. Lovely. It got me visibility on Facebook. They weren't really prospects. So that's good. That's always a plus. You want lots of engagement, because the more engagement your profile has, obviously the algorithms will then begin to show your profile to more people. So there's some strategy about having some engagement posts that are totally non-business related, just to get the masses and to up your algorithms. But then right after that, what you want to do is have some good business engagement posts, because then more people will see it, because Facebook goes, oh, she's hot, everyone liked her, everyone commented on her. And so you get spread around more. I just love this. Facebook is like the virus. Oh, I don't know why I said that. Okay, I didn't say that. Ignore that. Cancel. All right, so with the engagement posts, is you want to have something that's engaging to your ideal prospect. What I often do, I do different styles. I might have an engaging picture, and then I might write like a 100 to 300 word post that expands on the concept, and I ask for engagement on it. Or I might just do what I did like last week. I made a post that said something like, are you, or who do I know here that's a coach, consultant, or expertpreneur? And I had like 80 or 90 people, and they're still coming in, engaging on that. And so that they're basically telling me that they're a coach, consultant, or expertpreneur. Guess what? Some of my best clients are coaches, consultants, and expertpreneurs. Super. A lot of these people, they're already in my community, so I already know them. But what's really cool is now it opened the door for me to have a conversation with them. So now this week I'm messengering, Facebook messaging back. Hey, thanks for commenting. Of course, everyone who posted on that post or commented on that post, I made a comment as well. So once again, I'm helping the algorithms for my stuff to show up more. And then I'm reaching out to them. And, you know, What are you doing? What are you up to? How's it going? Some of those people, ultimately, I believe, will hop on the phone with, and I'll be able to have a sales conversation with. So engagement posts are a great way to kind of sort through the hundreds, if not thousands, probably more like thousands of people who like your profile that potentially could be prospects for you. You want to make sure that your posts are targeting and getting the right crowd to raise their hand metaphorically, getting them to make a comment or to like it. And then those people who comment and like, you want to be able to message to and start that conversation with. And that's an excellent, excellent way to kind of shift through people who already know you, because there's clients all around us. This is the exciting thing about what I'm sharing with you. Like, none of these are like going out there and creating funnels and webinars and podcasts and blogs and all the rest of that marketing stuff, which is excellent to do. However, it's long. It's the long game. What I shared with you today is very much the short game. So if you're listening on the line, I'm just going to pause here, take a moment. You know, type in which one of those four strategies were exciting for you. You know, which one are you willing to do? So let me go back and review what they are so you know what we're talking about here. So the four key strategies, well, let's say five, because the first strategy is ditch all the stuff that's getting in the way of you getting in front of prospects. Because the fastest path to cash, honestly, is for you to get in front of a prospect today, right now. And if you're doing all sorts of other things that you're not talking to a prospect today, then you have a problem. You know, one of the questions I often ask my clients is, how many sales conversations did you have this week? And if you had zero, well, guess what? That's probably why you got no clients this week. Now, unless you have a click and buy button, you know, you have a click and buy business, and you know, you're selling a, you know, lower product pricing, and people can just go and, you know, click to go to your website and click the button and buy. But I'm saying for most business and business service professionals, it's a bigger ticket value, and therefore it generally takes a conversation. So if you're that type of business, then, yeah, you need to have conversations with people to get it. So number one was stop. Simplify, okay? Don't be like Joanne where you're doing all these other things that were getting in the way of her success. Number two, now these are the things that you should be doing. Number two is make a list of all your past clients and then reconnect with them. Don't sell. Just reconnect, have conversations with them. Ultimately, you might ask for a referral or a re-engagement, okay? And be open to meet them where they're at, okay? They've changed, you've changed, so meet them where they're at. Number three strategy to do is make a list of everyone you've met this last year and then reach out to them, whether you text, call, or messenger, it doesn't matter. Find the style that works for you. The fastest path, I think, is phoning, although sometimes it's hard to get people on the phone, so you might phone and then message them. That kind of works too, that double-headed thing. But basically, same as the other, don't sell. You want to have a connection call, reach out to them, find out who they are, see if they're a potential prospect, ask for permission, if they are, to share with something of insight with them that could potentially lead to a sales conversation. Number three and four, I guess at this point we're going four and five, was the social media marketing. And the first one was the friending strategy, how to get new friends, how to get more friends that are specific, like could be prospects, and then how to take that up so that you can have a sales conversation with them ultimately. And then the last one was how to leverage the friends you already have by doing engagement posts, which help you identify who potentially could be a prospect and that you can messenger with, and ultimately take offline or offline and get on the phone with and have a sales conversation with. So those are the five ways, the fastest ways that you can get clients today, potentially, is that direct outreach. It'll make a huge, huge difference for you. And so I'm just going to pause here and drink some more water. Megan, that's your cue to kind of line up the questions. If you're on the phone, guys, you can press star 2. See, we've got a bunch of people there, a bunch of folks there. Press star 2, and you can raise your hand, and I'd love that because we can actually have a real dialogue. And otherwise, then let me go and ask Megan what questions have come up from our dialogue today.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely been a few questions coming in today.
Let's see. I want to start, I think, with the ones that are in the chat box right now.
Okay.
So, just bear with me. I'm going back there. Okay, here we are. And looks like Carolyn just said that she likes your strategy number 3, reaching out to people I've met. I'm usually bad with follow-up.
Yeah, sorry, Carolyn, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just snickering to myself because follow-up is really, it shouldn't be so hard, but it really is. Really, really is. And, yeah, follow-up is so key. Follow-up or you'll fail, or follow-up or you'll foul up. Those are both great sayings. Yeah, follow-up is really critical. And, you know, thanks, Carolyn, for saying that, because what's really cool is, we have tons of opportunity, as I said, right on our desk, on our phone, on our desktop, on our phones, business cards in our pockets. We have tons of business around us, but we actually tend to, rather than following up with what we have, we tend to just go for new, and that's harder. It's like, why would we do that? But for some reason, what we have, we tend not to look at. It's the low-hanging fruit. It's the easy thing. So, yes, thank you, Carolyn, for making that point. Yeah, I'm laughing at myself there. Yeah, follow up. Okay. So
another one I can relate to.
I think we all can. And we're all kind of sticking to it. But, the amount of business we're losing because we're not following up is criminal. And I've got my hands. I got two hands in the air right now, guys, because I've done that. I know I've lost business because I haven't followed up. And it's like, I didn't say shoot me dead, but that's a bad saying. That's just not the right way to do. Okay. Megan.
This literally just popped into my head. Can I ask a quick question?
Of course you can.
Okay. Thank you. Because, I send out quotes to people or proposals, and then I'm sort of waiting for their reply. And I always follow up like a couple of times here and there. But like at what point do you sort of go, okay, they're just not going to do it, and I should just let that go?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to defer back to my employment agency. That's funny. My mastermind buddy and I had this conversation a while back, and this happens a lot. When I had my employment agency, I had a sales team ultimately. Eventually, I was the only salesperson, but then I grew the company. I had more people. And I'd always have this conversation with people because, there'd be someone, a company, warehouse manufacturer who's using one of our competitors, and my salesperson would, knock on the door, on the phone or on the door physically. Anyways, he couldn't get a sales appointment. And so he's like going, well, they're not going to buy, they're happy with our competitor, and, he's crossing them off the list. I'm like going, you can't cross them off the list. Just because they said that they're happy with who they're using today doesn't mean they're going to be happy with who they're using today next week or next month or, 6 months from now. The person who's the ordering source could move on to another company, another position, and you've got a new opportunity. So I would never let them take anybody off the list who was a good hot prospect, a company that we knew was using our services, or not our services, but someone else's services. You can't just cross them off because they said no. And same thing for you, Megan. I mean, if you have a prospect and you've had a conversation and they didn't buy from you today, doesn't mean they aren't going to buy from you 6 months from now. And so, that makes a great point. I should change this in my notes. When I talked about, people that you already know were past clients, in the past clients, you could also phone people that you sold to but didn't buy from you in the past and reach out to them, because life changes, business changes, their values change, their attitudes change, their experience changes. They're ready to buy from you at different times. So, you can't just stop selling to someone that you think is going to be good, but you can still stay in touch but not be selling. Okay, I just want to make that clear. So it's not like you're going to phone them, and sell. But for our hot prospects, what we did is, if they were really a big client, we would, a potential big client, not our client, but somebody else's client, we would actually every 4, 6, or 8 weeks, depending upon the size of the company, my sales team, they had to do an outreach. And it might be send them an article, send them something of interest, something of value, call them with a new idea, call them with a new opportunity, a new program, whatever. So there's always that direct outreach. And certainly you can do that if you have a prospect that you really think is be a good fit for you and you believe you can help them, then continue to follow up with them. find some different way. Now, with, you know, online marketing and social media, you can, you know, share different posts with them. Hey, I was thinking about you. I came across this cool article, thought you'd like to enjoy it. You know, here it is. Enjoy. Click. And send it to them through Messenger. You thought of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not every contact is going to be like, buy from me. Because if all you say is buy from me, buy from me, buy from me, you know, they're gonna blacklist you. However, continue to add value. Ask them questions that get them thinking. But there's lots of ways we can stay in front of our prospects. So the question, I think, I don't remember what you said exactly, but the question is, when do you let them go? You don't, until they tell you that they don't want to buy from you ever.
Well, thank you. That's actually really helpful.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get to everyone else's questions. Peter in the chat asked a question a few minutes ago. He said, do you suggest to ask them for a call after the first reply or offer details via email after they ask?
Okay. Peter, can you come on the line? Can Peter talk? can Peter talk? Peter, can you talk? Are you on the phone line or are you on the webcast? If you're on the broadcast, you can't, but if you're on the web call, you can, if you have a headset attached to your thing. That probably didn't sound very good, did it?
He said, sorry, no mic at the moment.
Okay. All right. So this is hypothetical. Do you suggest, but you can type, so you can type stuff, Peter, if I'm not hitting it in the right direction. Do you suggest to ask them for a call after the first reply? Okay, so what I guess I'm hearing from you is when you say them, I don't know if they're a new contact or an existing contact, but if I've messengered somebody, Peter, can you tell me more? Is it a new new Facebook friend, or is it an existing one? Just so kind of help me put the right context, because I want to answer your question specific to you rather than making it kind of vague and general for everybody. So
he said in this case it's a warm contact from the past.
Okay, great. So a warm contact from the past. I'm saying that I'm sensing that they're probably not like your past client and they're not really a close friend. So a warm contact from the past. So if you do a direct outreach, you know, it's almost, you have to think of it from their point of view. I always like to put the prospect shoes on and consider is like what would feel comfortable for me. So just like when I say make a connection with people, the first thing you do is not try to sell them, you know, and also I made a comment about asking permission. So, you know, if you're at the stage where you've had that back and forth, that kind of, so, you know, we don't want to just go right for the jugular. I kind of like to do that, but it's not, trust me, it doesn't work as well. But if you had a little back and forth, and you think you can help them, you might, you know, message them saying, hey, can I run something past you? I think it might be of help for you. Are you game? And if they say yes, this is what I do, actually. This is almost my exact wording. If they say yes, then I'll say, if I need more information from them, I say, can I ask you another question? And then I'll ask the question, you know, to qualify them better. And then if I still think they're cool, I'm like going, hey, I'd love to share more with you. And then my line, and this is so true for me, I'd rather talk than type. Can we hop on the phone? And so I would just ask them. But once again, as to exactly when, well, when you think that they're a qualified prospect, because, you know, otherwise you don't want to spend your time just doing howdy calls. You know, you really want to have a call, conversation that, you know, means something. And the other thing, too, is I never want to dupe people. Like, I don't want to fool people. I don't want them to think that they're coming just to have a coffee, quote-unquote, date with me, like just to have a conversation with me, and then I try and pitch them. I'm really clear about that because I've had that, you know, where I've, you know, someone's want to have a conversation with me and I connect with them and then instantly there's this big sales pitch and that really turns me off. So I want, when I get together with someone on the phone, I want them to know why they're coming. And if I'm saying, I've got something cool I want to run by you, I think it would be a fit for you, I think it could help you with blank, you know, are you game? Well, obviously when we get on the phone, they know why they're coming. So, Peter, I guess the thing is exactly when it happens, it depends on the dialogue that you've had with the person, but be clear about why they're coming. Don't do bait and switch. Like, don't bait them like, hey, let's chat, and, you know, maybe I can buy from you, and, you know, maybe we can help each other in business, and then just pitch them. That's a real turnoff. So I hope that answered that question for you. If you have a follow-up question, Peter, don't hesitate to put it in the chat. All right.
Peter says, thanks a lot.
All righty, cool. Next question. Do we have some other ones, Megan?
Yes, there is another one in the chat box from Alan, and I'm chuckling just a little bit because it's definitely the topic we've covered today, how to get clients fast.
Okay. So the fastest path to clients is the shortest one, and the shortest one is direct outreach. And Alan, that's, you know, yeah, maybe popped in after we start the call, but really what we just talked about today is look at, you know, who's already bought from you. Because they bought from you. They know you. They like you. They trust you, right? It's an easy resell if they're in a situation that they're now ready to buy again. Or maybe they're ready to buy something different. Maybe you have something different. So, you know, the past clients are great. And I didn't say it earlier, but I'm saying it now. Past prospects that you sold to but didn't buy, those are great because they already know you. They liked you enough to have a conversation with you. Maybe they didn't buy then, but they might be ready to buy now. And then from there, people that you've just met, like not as in the word just met as in today, but people that you've recently met, is to reach out to them. And then the fourth one is to reach out to people on Facebook or LinkedIn through social media. And then the fifth one is to, you know, find new people, find new friends, have engagement posts on Facebook or LinkedIn, and then start the messaging sequence from there. But social media marketing is a really powerful tool that I know I believe that most people aren't using well, or they're not using it right. And I know a lot of people complain about people selling on Facebook. Well, you know, there's a good way and there's a not so good way to do it. And it, you know, in my program, I talk about how to do it the right way and how to do it in a really, you know, a supporting way. You don't want to beat people up, and nor do you want to get beat up. But it's a way to build connections, and connections that are lasting, and connections that will get you business. So I hope I answered that question for Alan.
Yeah, hopefully he hasn't yet responded. So let's move on. I've got a few questions in the Q&A section here. One of them from Carolyn, who we were chatting about a minute ago. So She was asking, should I be posting on my Facebook business page or my profile, and is a group something I need?
Oh, really good question. Carolyn, can you tell us what type of business you have? That will help me understand that. And as you're typing that in, I'll just talk about it. So here's the thing, and I know different Facebook people will say something different, but this is my personal belief. And this is personally what's worked for me and what works for my clients. Now, I know on Facebook the rule is you can't or should not sell on your profile, and there's always the big threat or fear that they'll shut you down, the Facebook police, the jail, whatever. So, yes, given that you aren't supposed to, you know, sell on your profile, and Facebook is meant to be, you know, the whole guiding principle of Facebook is to make people connect and friends and all the rest of that, But my experience has been this, is that the pages are getting, and Megan, I know you've gone to a couple of the Facebook training stuff too from them, but the Facebook pages are not getting the engagement that they used to. They're not getting the exposure that they used to. Like at one point I'd make a post on Facebook and my reach would be like, you know, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times what it is today. So if I post stuff on my page, and I do, I post a couple times on my page every day. So don't, you know, dismiss that pages are dead and they're no good anymore. They have value, and you want to build community there, but it's harder to get engagement on your page than it is on your profile. Now, my profile, as I said earlier, I use Facebook as a way to get clients. It's a marketing strategy for me, all right? And with Facebook, and on your profile, I don't know if you know this, but you can create different groups. So if you have, like, friends and family, and you want to have posts that just go to them, then you can set them up in groups, and then your posts just go to them. And then the rest of them, or you can have a group just for, you know, prospects. You can make groups like that. So I use Facebook groups on my profile, and I'll post different things based on who I want to see it. So that's one way around it. And ultimately, so the short answer is yes, you'd be posting on your page and your profile. The longer answer to that is I find it more successful posting on my profile. And however, I don't flagrantly sell in those posts. Like, I don't have a post that says, hey, I'm selling this today. Click here and buy it. I don't do those posts on my profile. I don't do those posts anywhere, really, actually. However, I can talk about business because business is part of my life. And so I can talk all about business, and I can do Facebook Lives, and I can, you know, promote, like this call you might have seen on my Facebook profile. It's there. You know, go check my profile out. I put blog posts on my profile. I talk about business problems and challenges, and I give advice and guidance and, you know, share concepts. I do all of that on my profile. It's been more powerful and more effective for me to get business. Now, let's talk about groups. Did we find out what business Carolyn's in?
Yes, she says she's a personal development coach.
Ah, yes. Okay, so not knowing your shtick around that, for your profile, pardon me, for is a group something you need? You know, a group can be really powerful. I know one of my mentors, she's in a program with me. I know that she's done, like, six figures out of her group of, like, you know, maybe 1,000. Like, it's a huge business revenue stream for her. So it depends on how you set your group up and what's the intent of the group and how do you show up in the group. So groups can be very powerful, but you don't have a group that you don't participate in. Like unless you're going to show up on it and get engagement and have conversations and you can attract people who also want to show up and have engagement and have conversations with you, then it's not as effective. But you need to have if you have a group, you need to nurse it. You need to be there. You need to show up there. And then you need to set the parameters of who's in the group and how the group is going to function for you. And, yes, you can get business from your group. So, it takes work. But with your group, you don't want to do things like, you know, people talk about different engagement. From my point of view, and this is a personal bias I have about Facebook, I'm just kind of sharing it all here, is that Facebook is for business. I've said this several times for me. And so I want engagement, and I want a large group or page, like I want lots of people, but to me, quality outweighs quantity. So it's not like having a group of 20,000 people in it, but there are people from third world countries that are never going to be prospects of mine. I don't want those people in my group or on my page. So I have a bias against that. I'm not looking for posting pictures of kitten videos. I'm just using that as an example. Like I don't want that type of engagement, clickbait, okay? I want stuff that's germane and impactful to what I'm all about, and I'm all about business, and I'm all about helping people grow their business and about marketing and mindset and things like that. And so, you know, think about who you want in a group and what you want your group to stand for. So before you launch into a group, really decide that and realize that it's going to take effort for you to show up and to bring people in. You might even just choose to do a pop-up group for something like a project. You might do a challenge or something like that and do a pop-up group, and then from there, that group could morph into an ongoing, longer-term group. So, you know, is it something you need? Not unless you're going to work it. So I hope I answered that question well enough for you, Carolyn. I hope that made sense to you. Okay? But definitely...
She said yes. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, but definitely you want to be posting on your profile because that's where you get the biggest exposure. And you want to have a friending strategy so that you're continuing to grow your profile with potential prospects. So you don't want to friend anybody. And even if people invite you to be your friend, if they aren't a potential kind of prospect, if they're kind of doing something that's never going to be a fit for you, you know, if you're close to the 5,000 where you get capped off, you don't want to accept them as your friend. And even if you're not at 5,000, if you're 500, you still might not want to choose to put them as your friend or take them as your friend, but put them in that separate category that I was talking about. All right. I'm going to drink some more water, Megan, and you can read the next question to me.
Okay. Okay. So next question is, I'm a coach and I keep getting prospects saying they want to think about it instead of just saying yes to my coaching. I'm trying not to come across as too pushy or salesy, but I keep losing sales. What should I do or say to get a yes?
Oh, yeah. that old client, that old prospect, I want to think about it. It's the kiss of death. We hate that, don't we? Yeah, so, you know, although I look at it from this point of view, when someone says, I want to think about it, I always take the onus on that I haven't done a good enough job as a salesperson. Sometimes they genuinely, I've got to put this out as a caveat, sometimes they genuinely need to think about it. But generally speaking, it can be a great deflector where we're trying to be polite, and it's a polite no, but people just don't want to say no. And so when people tell me they want to think about it, there's a couple of things I do. It's like I pause, and I'm going, okay, cool, I get that. Obviously, it means that you've got more thoughts or more questions. What specifically do you want to think about? What specifically have I not answered that's a consideration that you need to ponder? So in other words, I try and clarify why they want to think about it. Is it they want to share it with their partner or their spouse or their friend, or they want to look at their banking? Is it a money issue? Because I want to think about it. It could mean like so many things. Like you don't know what that means at all. You have no clue. So the first step for me is to try and understand what it is specifically they want to think about. And so I might even run at them with a couple questions. Is it a money issue? Is it an affordability issue? So I might ask that question to figure out what is it they want to think about. So once I figure out what they want to think about, then that helps me know where to take the conversation from there. Because if I can get them to disclose it's a money issue, or if they want to, they're just not certain, well, then what are they not certain about? So often it's because they haven't connected with the value. They don't see the direct path between where they are now, where they want to get to, and whether or not you can get them there with whatever you happen to be selling them. So if you're a coach, you mentioned, so whether it's one-on-one or program or whatever, but if they're thinking about it, it means they just don't see the path. They aren't sure. They're not confident in it, unless it's like a money issue. Now, if they say, well, I want to talk to my partner, I'm like, oh, great, I understand that. You know, it's really important that, obviously, if it's your partner and it's your agreement that you talk things out before you make purchases, I get that. And then what you can also flip it over and say, what do you think he's likely to say or she's likely to say? Or what did you think they're likely to ask? And so basically then you can actually coach them on how to coach through the conversation with their partner. And that's really helpful to do, too, because sometimes, you never want their partner to talk them out of it. If it's really a fit for the person and the person's really, right for it and they really want it, you want to really assess that. So when people tell me they want to think about it, I'm trying to get a read on what do they need to think about and then how hot or cold are they in the sense of making that decision. And then based on that, it helps me understand how to continue the sales conversation. So, and it is about continuing the sales conversation then. You don't say, okay, great, well, you think about it and let's talk next week. You really want to kind of get a handle on why and what they're thinking about. And if you need to, you don't want to answer that right now. It's the same thing when people say, well, that sounds really great. I want to think about it. Can you send me some information? I was like, no, never. I don't want, what information would you need that I can't share with you right now? You might send a summary, summary email, but ultimately you really want to make sure that you're there to guide them through the decision-making process. And so stay with them in the conversation for as long as it takes for you to uncover their issue and then help guide them through the answer of that. Because when they go off and think by themselves, they usually will talk themselves out of it. And that's probably why why you're losing. It's great that you identify that you keep losing the sales. So to get a yes, those are some things that might help you in that journey. I hope that helped. Okay. More water.
Okay.
Next question.
I've got one more question here. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot about hiring a salesperson, but I'm not quite sure where to look. Any thoughts on hiring the right person?
Yeah. I'm biased here because I think hiring a salesperson, business-to-business salesperson, is probably one of the toughest things to do. I owned an employment agency. We did temp and perm placements, and I hired a sales team myself, and I hired salespeople for companies. And it always is kind of a trick because everyone goes, oh, I love people, and I'm really good at selling, but, are they? So it's to do that, let's see if I can shorten the strokes on how to do this. hiring the right person, it starts with you being really crystal clear about what you need. And whether you're hiring sales or whether you're hiring a, you know, an operations person or admin person, whatever, marketing person, you really, the first step is always understanding what specifically you want them to achieve. You have to understand the deliverables and the goals that you set for them. That's the first step. And then, because if you don't know that, if you're vague about that, chances are you're going to remove the possibility of success by some degrees. So you really want to understand what it is you're hiring, why you're hiring it, what the expectations are, and then set up the job description so that you're really clear about it. And also, out of fairness, the person who applies for the job and ultimately would get the job should know what job they're getting and what the expectations are. I see this time and time again. You know, and as I said, I was in the industry for 10 years with my own business and another 6 with a competitor. 16 years of hiring people, it's crazy how many people would be hiring and they really didn't have a clear handle on what they wanted. And that's where the mismatch often happened. And it would be incredibly frustrating for both parties, the companies and the potential prospects or employees. So clearly understanding that's really key. And then when you hire people, you know, it's not about, well, you kind of have to like them, but it's not really about liking them. You want to hire people who are better than you. And as a CEO or business owner, it is sometimes unnerving to do that. But when you do hire people who are better than you, that's when you really escalate your success. That's when you can really elevate your business. And regardless of whatever skill set you're hiring. So you want to hire someone better than you. And to be better than you, you need to understand what it is that you want them to do. And then you definitely want to do reference checks. You actually want to do behavioral questions during your interview process. You want to make sure that they're fit for the culture and the company. But you really want to have behavioral questions. So not hypothetical, but behavioral. Like you want to ask them for direct experiences. Tell me a time when this happened. What did you do? Rather than, if this happened, what would you do? Because people will make stuff up, and whether they make it up because they know it, it's like the same thing as I started off the call today saying, you might know something, but unless you're doing it, you really don't know it. And we all know lots of stuff, but we're not doing it. So hypothetically, we can answer stuff because we know it. But if we're not doing it, we really, you know, we want to make sure that you hire someone who can do it. So that would be it. And where to look. Interesting. You know, I've had tons of clients get really successful results. I have to snicker when I say this on Craigslist, of all places. There's different, depending upon, you know, where you're at, Canadian or U.S., but, you know, HRDC here, there's different job boards and things like that. What's the one that starts with an I? Oh, there's a company here that you can put postings on. Inspired.
Indeed.
Indeed.com. Yes, indeed. You know, you can do that route. You know, you can post on your Facebook page. You can send an email out to your, like if you have, once again, I don't have the business, but, you know, if you could send an email out to your list. We're hiring. And then, you know, send it to your list. You might have some people on your list. You might have some past clients. I know a very successful 7-figure business, and, you know, half of her team has come from past clients. They've used the services, they like her, they understand the, you know, what she's selling, and they've stepped up and want to be part of it. So, you know, send it out to your email list, put it on your Facebook page, network for it, you know, phone, you know, connect, make connection calls. Another great way to do it. Make connection calls with people that you know in the community and ask for referrals or leads or, you know, for them to share it with their list as well. But, yeah, grassroots way is kind of a really cool way, and it's cheap and it's inexpensive. You don't need to pay the big bucks to have someone place someone in your company. But I hope that made sense. So, and then, you know, really I should back this up by saying, you know, your question was you've been thinking about hiring a salesperson. My first question would be why? Why are you hiring this person? Why? What are you thinking about? Is it because you're not good at sales and you want to get rid of it off your desk? Or is it because, I don't know, like why are you wanting to hire someone? And if you're hiring someone and you don't have a proven system to sell, then make sure that you hire someone who has. Because if you aren't successful at selling or aren't as successful as you'd like to be and you think hiring someone would make it easier for you, it won't unless you know how to hire well and you do hire well. So hopefully that wasn't too weird, but I hope that made sense. And I'm going to pause and drink more water, Megan. That's your cue.
Yes, that was the last question that we have. So
okay.
I think that's it for today.
That's cool for questions. I'm just going to go back and see if anyone raised their hand. I'm not looking at the dashboard there. I've been so engaged with our conversation. So let's go to the dashboard. I don't see any hands raised. So we are going to wrap up. So once again, you can get clients fast, guys. You absolutely can. But you have to do the work of it. You know, remember that sales and marketing is a bit of a numbers game. It's don't get discouraged because people didn't respond to your messenger chats or they didn't return your phone calls. They may not have seen them or they were too busy or a dozen other reasons. So you want to always make sure that you take the high road and, you know, cycle back and just, hey, just checking in. Did you see my last message? I know you might have been busy. But recognize that, you know, it takes massive action to get massive results. And direct outreach is the shortest and fastest path to getting you a client. If you do any of these strategies I shared today, I have a hunch that you would turn business this week. And so, you know, look at it from that perspective. If you had to get $5,000 today, you could do so. Assuming you sell something worth $5,000, not $50. But you could do so. And it really is by direct outreach, connecting with people you already know, past clients, making new friends on social media, and then doing the work to get those conversations started. So my question for you as we wrap up today is, who can you connect with right now? Like, do it right now. Like, right, you know, whether you're listening live or listening later, do it right now that you'll, you know, send someone a message, you know, or text somebody or pick up the phone. But do it right now. Make this part of your daily routine. And if you do, you will always have your funnel filled. And you won't need to go out and do all those other weird marketing things that are going to take you too much time and too much money and not going to get you to the result. But do it right now. Do some direct outreach. Make a list. How can you add value? And then reach out and start connecting and connect every day. And you will have more business than you can shake a stick at. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening in today. It was a blast. Loved all the questions. And I hope that you're going away with some great insights and ideas. And nonetheless, we will talk with you again. Hey, stay tuned. Remember, I'm doing this every Wednesday. My weekly Wednesday calls at 1 p.m. We'll post what the next topic's going to be, and I hope to see you again soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening in today, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.